Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head to head. So you'll be
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Change Agent's Dilemma for Tuesday, April 17th, 2012. I'm your host, Heather Stagel, coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia, as I do once a month on Blog Talk Radio. This show is one of the many ways I help equip individuals to lead organizational change at Enclaria. And before we get started on the radio show, I'd like to let you know about a free teleclass that's coming up next week. It's called 10 Ways Change Gets Stuck, and I'm going to talk about things to watch out for so you can avoid your change initiative spinning its wheels. And so if you'd like to join that, it's Tuesday, April 24th at noon Eastern, and you can visit enclaria.com, that's E-N-C-L-A-R-I-A.com, to register for that. The Change Agent's Dilemma is how to influence change without authority, and my goal with this show is to provide ideas and share stories to help you do just that. Today, my guest is Christina Katch, who is here to share tips for how to influence change as a newbie. Christina graduated from Northeastern University in 2009 with a Bachelor of Science degree in Industrial Engineering and a minor in Business Administration. After graduation, she took a position in a two-year leadership development program at a government defense company based in Massachusetts. After completing rotations in operations, supply chain, and engineering, Christina took a position as a continuous improvement lead, allowing her to utilize the skills she developed as an industrial engineer and her passion of lean manufacturing. A large piece of successful lean initiatives involved change and leading a team to make improvements. Through these experiences, Christina has learned what does and what doesn't work in inspiring people to change. Christina, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So we build this conversation as how to influence change as a newbie, and so we should probably start by saying what exactly is a newbie. Who are we talking about?
So newbie to me is anybody really that is moving from college to a job for the first time, changing companies, changing departments, any time where you're considered new. I'm speaking from the perspective of making that transition from student to work, but also I've changed departments and through that rotational program, I've changed departments and job functions a few times. So I also have the experience of knowing the company, knowing the ins and outs, but not knowing that particular team or department.
Okay. So this is a conversation that could be helpful for anyone who isn't necessarily just new at a career or just out of school, but also someone who is new to an organization, new to a project. You know, I know, thinking of myself, having been out of school for a lot longer than you, knowing or trying to remember what it was like can be difficult. So, I'm not in that position anymore. So it's helpful to hear your perspective of how to influence change as a newbie.
Yes, I'm also hoping anyone listening that might have some newbies coming into their environment could use this as a way to help that person adapt.
Oh, that's great. So what's so challenging about being a newbie, implementing change?
Really, there is so much thrown at you in any new position, new people to meet, new products, new customers, possibly a new layout of your work cell, your environment, if you make a company change, that, where do you even get started? It can be overwhelming even for someone seasoned. And on top of that, you're likely to have training or other criteria that you have to meet first before you can really get started. So it's kind of a split of you want to get started, and it's frustrating because you can't, because there's things that you have to do first, people you have to meet, rules you have to understand, but you also have to meet all these new people, understand all these new things, and it's a lot to take on at once. And you want to make a good impression with your new team on top of it.
Sure, because you want to hit the ground running with enthusiasm and, you know, get something done and show your worth, show your value, show that you were a good hire or, you know, a good fit with the new team. And it's not always easy to do.
Yeah, you have to get used to
if you don't know who anyone is. So what's the first thing that you should do when entering a new change initiative?
You know, number one has to be getting to know your team. Who are the people you'll be working with, the people from different departments you'll be interacting with, your managers, who are those key individuals going to be? And then I've always found asking questions is a great way to go. If you're a little lost or confused, even if you're not, ask questions. You'll likely find, and in my experience it's been true, that people kind of like to share with you. If they've been there and done it for years, they enjoy passing on that knowledge. And by asking questions, you're starting to put on that, you know, I'm here to do a good job. I want to excel for you. I want to add value. And by asking questions, it gives the impression to your team of, hey, she's trying. She can't do everything yet, but she's trying. She's asking the right questions. She's getting out there. And it's not just sitting at your desk and making phone calls to ask questions. You really need to get out there and interact with people face-to-face. I find that makes a huge difference when you get out from the cubicle or from your desk and get out to talk to people. For me, working in a manufacturing environment, you know, all the action takes place on the manufacturing floor. So that's where you should be getting out to, because that's where you're going to learn. What are the products? What are the processes? Who are the people? Getting the conversations going. You know, you're not going to affect any change from behind your desk, that's for sure. And even if, you know, you're out there and you maybe seem a little lost or uncomfortable, because I know it's easier said than done to just get out there and start walking around and meeting people, but at least you're putting in the effort. Somebody will see you and say, hey, she's trying. Or somebody will grab you and say, hey, you new? And they'll work with you. And, you know, don't be afraid to speak up and say to your manager, hey, I want to spend some time out on the floor today, or I want to take a tour of the facility, or whatever it is that you want to learn and see, and ask them if they could set it up for you, if they had a contact that maybe could spend some time with you sitting one-on-one and talking about things.
Yeah, I think some people who are new to a situation might feel like they want to avoid asking too many questions because they don't want to bother people who are busy, or, you know, I don't know if you've found that at all or if you've run into that at all.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's going to be people that enjoy it. There are going to be people that thrive on, ooh, new person, I get to show them things. Mm-hmm. But then there are some people that, you know, they're not interested in. You have to find those individuals, engage. It's another question for your boss or maybe somebody that you hit it off well with of, hey, who in this organization would be a good person to chat with? Mm-hmm. And you want to make sure the questions you're asking are intelligent, worthy questions. Don't just ask questions for the sake of asking questions.
Great point.
You know, you want to be asking questions that are going to help you learn. Ultimately, you're there to help the business. So what kind of questions can you ask to generate that kind of thought? And it's just, there might be, even if it's something of, hey, is there a organization chart or a training manual or something I can read? Because maybe that somebody who doesn't really want to sit and give you the time answering back and forth questions might be able to point you in a direction to get some information.
Sure, there's probably some things that you can get on your own and then other things that you actually need that interaction in order to learn.
Yes.
Okay. So you said one of the first things you do need to do is get out there and start building relationships. And so what would you recommend as far as how do you go about building relationships when you're new?
Well, I'm going to start that question by telling a story from personal experience.
Great.
Because it was really, it was an eye-opening experience. And though I was embarrassed at the time, I really am thankful for him for pointing out this little problem I had developed. When I had first started at this company in 2009, I mean, we're talking in my first few weeks, you know, like you mentioned, I was eager. I wanted to hit the ground running. I wanted to do things. I wanted to prove that I was a worthy candidate. And my boss gave me some assignments, and I went out and started working them. Until one day when I walked in to talk to this gentleman, he looked up, saw me, and said, "Oh, great, Christina's here. What does she want?" So seeing the confused look on my face, he elaborated by saying that the only time I ever came to talk to him was when I needed something. I never just stopped by to ask how his weekend was, if he was having a good day. I didn't spend any time bothering to get to know him, his family, how long he had been there. I just jumped right into, how can you help me?
And yeah, all business.
It's a two-week street. How can I help you? How can you help me? How can we help the business together? It's a collaboration. And it was, you know, one of the first real pieces of career advice I got, and still one of the best ones I've ever gotten, is you can't just go in. Like, you have to find that balance of being the bull in the china shop to go in there and be excited and eager, but also to have the humility to back up and get to know your team and build the relationship, talk to them, get to know them. And I also find that it's people, you'll see a lot of advice like that out there on the internet and in books to talk to your team, ask a lot of questions, get to know them, what are their likes, dislikes, favorite baseball team, and have those conversations. But what they don't always include is that you actually have to listen. You can't just hear the words they're saying and making it seem like you care. You really actually do need to care. You need to internalize what they're saying. Remember it. Bring it up later. Hey, how was your daughter's soccer game this weekend? You know, if people really appreciate that. They told you that and you remembered and you followed up on it. And then
that's great. I just wanted to add that, you know, getting to know people on a personal basis is also a great way. And this is going to sound underhanded or sinister or something, but a great way to find out how to influence them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not trying to say that you should gather intelligence to figure out how to get them to do something later. But it can be, it's a way of finding out what's important to people so you can identify more with their values when you get to a point when you need to build influence. So,
yeah, I mean, and it's also a lot of advice I also see out there is they really encourage you as the new person to ask a lot of questions and get to know your new team. But I also like to add that you're also new to them. They also have to start including you on email distributions and saying hello to you in the hallway. So make sure in those interactions it's not completely one-sided. You also want to say, oh, that's your favorite movie? That's my favorite movie too. And again, don't be fake. Make it genuine. But if something catches your attention, you know, pull on that thread and get them to know you a little bit too, so that when they see you in the hallway or at a conference room, they have something to ask you about.
Great point. So what should people know who are new to implementing and influencing change? What other tips? And maybe we could talk about how you even gathered this information.
If you're going to make mistakes, learn from them. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of the things, like, you know, I told you the story of what happened to me. A lot of this information has been gathered from similar experiences. I also find, you know, I'll tell you a few of the ways that I do this is I like to watch people that are successful at these kinds of things. People that I look around that everybody seems to like but also respect, people that they like to talk to. I've watched a few new waves of college grads coming in over the past 2 years, and some of them adapted very well and knew their teams quickly and achieved a lot. What was their success? You know, I talked to them about it. What did you do well? Would you sit with me and say, tell me how you made that transition so smooth? So you learn from people that have done it. And I also, the reason why I remember this story is not just because it stuck out so vividly of, an experience for me, but I wrote it down. I find that if I'm going to make a mistake or even have a success, if something goes really well, I write down what I learned from it so I can build on it. And go back and reference, all right, this situation went really well for me. What did I do in that situation that made it go well? So I learn from myself. I seek out coaches and mentors. If I find that there's something I need to develop or a skill that's a bit weaker than another, who do I know that does it well? Who can I sit with and ask, hey, I've seen that you're very confident when you're speaking in a conference room to a group of people. Could I sit with you and pick your brain on how you developed that skill? you have to actively seek out the knowledge and mm-hmm. the training on these things. You'll learn very little by being passive and waiting for things to come to you. They won't. Your career is going to be what you make of it. The change and the influence is going to be what you make of it and how hard you work to develop your skills.
Okay, so you keep a notebook at work?
I do, yes.
Okay. I had a note. a long time ago, I kept a notebook too, but instead of keeping things that I learned, it was more like observations of things that needed to be fixed.
Yeah, so if anybody is listening from work, don't try and find that notebook. It's personal. That's just for me. There's nothing bad in there, though. Don't worry, guys.
Right. Mine, yeah, when I kept the one that I had a list of things that I thought needed to be fixed, I kept that in my purse.
Yes. It's not somewhere where people will find this.
So what are some of the most important tips that you would share from what you've learned over the last few years?
For influencing change, it's change can get a bad reputation based on failures. You know, somebody tries to implement something and it doesn't sustain. Somebody tries to do a new project and once it's implemented, it doesn't quite fix the correct problem. So I really think it's worthwhile spending time up front to do more robust planning and problem solving and brainstorming than rushing into the situation just because, oh, we found something to change, let's go change it. There's value to be had in taking the time to really think of what is the root cause. Are we fixing the root cause or are we fixing a symptom of something else? And there are plenty of tools out there now with 5Y, 6 Sigma, matrices to weigh those decisions, to really get an understanding of what problem you're trying to fix, but also what results are you trying to get to? It's one thing to identify a problem or something that you'd like to change in your organization, but you also have to have that vision of, well, what would we like it to be? What is our end goal? How are we going to get there? Who do we need? What resources do we need? What time is it going to take? What steps do we need to action on? And laying out that plan and communicating it to everybody so that they know and they're on board with the change. And also with that, if there's some end user or customer that your change initiative is going to affect, they shouldn't be involved at the end. They should be involved right from the very beginning and involved throughout. People really, and I'm sure you've seen this in your research and work, people really have more commitment to a change when they feel involved in it.
Definitely. And nobody wants to be surprised either.
No, if you feel like, you know, the change might not be, we deal with it a lot at work, where the change might not be something that people are particularly excited about, but if their voice was heard, it makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you somehow, you know, we couldn't do exactly what you wanted, but we were able to manage to work this. It says a lot. It shows that you care about your people, you care about their opinion, and you took it into consideration.
What other tips do you have for, if you're new especially, you know, what do you need to know? What doesn't work?
Well, changing just for the sake of changing is one thing that, just because somebody throws out an idea at you, don't just change it because you're there and you want to do something. You really need to make sure you're making a value-added, positive business impact change. You know, I can't stress enough taking into account the people that the change is going to affect. We've all made that mistake of being so eager to get on and involved with something that you just go ahead and go do without taking the proper time to understand who is this affecting. How would I feel if somebody was coming in and changing something on me?
Always a good perspective to have.
Yeah, I find it very beneficial to flip it the other way of how would I feel? You know, the walk a mile in somebody else's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
How would I feel if this tool that I've always used is now being taken away? You know, put yourself in that other person's shoes. How do they feel? And have that bit of empathy in discussion with them.
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, as a change agent, if you're feeling resistance from somebody, you can just say, okay, you know, this is just a normal reaction based on what we're trying to accomplish. So how do I, you know, you just put yourself in their shoes. If you were them, it would be a normal reaction to what's going on. But
yeah,
you
and
get
I
a lot
also
of resistance
found,
when you're the change agent.
Exactly. And I've also found this particular one is a lot through observances of watching coworkers and managers and whatnot, that practicing what you preach can make a big difference. If you say one thing and do another, that doesn't really build people's trust in you. Mm-hmm. But also your own attitude, I feel, really can impact the success. If you're positive and you take the right approach, you have a much better chance of influencing change than if you go in there and say, all right, well, I have to do this. My boss gave me this project, so I'm going to go work it. Why would people want to work that with you or adapt it if you're not even into it? But then if you do, you know, if you're not excited about that project or that change initiative, it goes back to what I was saying of don't just change for change's sake. Make a business case and push back to that manager or that supervisor and say, I know you assigned me this project or, you know, this change potential, but here's some concerns I have, and bring them up. Have that discussion. Just because someone tells you to go change something, don't feel the need to just go off and blindly do it. You can push back and have that conversation because maybe you'll come up with another idea or something that will work better.
Great. So any other tips that you would share?
Well, I mentioned it quickly in the beginning, and I can go back to it with the bull in the china shop. You know, you're coming in to a new job or a new position excited. You're ready to go. You have a lot of energy. You want to use, especially if you're a student going to work, you want to use all those years of classes. But you have to take a step back and respect your new team because they've been there. They've been working. They want to welcome you on board. They want to take you in as part of their team. You're there to help them. But if you just come in and you start saying, well, whose idea was this? This wasn't very good. Who planned this? I kind of, you know, and I'm speaking from experience of seeing people doing that. And it makes the person that maybe did do that project or was involved with that, you know, not that happy to welcome you if you're going to come in there and be so bold. So that's where I find that it's maybe, you know, better to take a step back and ask questions of, oh, how did that come about? And take it in a more educate me kind of way versus going in there and storming the castle and saying, oh, we can make, there's so many opportunities for improvement. This is awful. There's so many things we can do. Take that enthusiasm and try and put a positive spin of, how can I help you? I find that to be a key phrase when you're new. How can I help you? What do you need help with? Because I guarantee somebody in your new department or team has more on their plate than they can handle. And they could help, and you could help them. How can I help you? What are some issues that you're having or workload that you need some assistance with?
Right, so asking questions to gain understanding and also to see how you can help. And I love that. Not you know, it's so easy to do, too, when you're joining a new team, new company, new environment, and you just start making judgment, you know, trying to show off your knowledge and, you know, show you that you know what you're talking about, but then you end up insulting people in the process. And
yes, and you don't mean to do it, but it does kind of come off that way.
Yeah. So asking more open-ended questions about, you know, but not accusingly either, not like, why are you doing it this way?
Yeah, exactly.
That would not be a recommendation.
And if you
question,
have to quit, and you know, I don't want anybody out there listening to this to think they have to dumb themselves down when starting a new job, but if you need to cushion it because you feel more comfortable with a less direct approach, I'm not very direct, so I like to cushion things a little bit with, you know, you mentioned this. I didn't quite catch it. Could you say it again? There's ways you can phrase things without making it sound accusatory or judgmental.
Okay, so I'm curious to know if you have any resources that you could point people to learn more information. I know you've seems like you've done a lot of research, but I don't know if there's any kind of books or websites or anything like that where people might be able to find more.
Well, you know, I certainly encourage people to start with learning from themselves, because any of this information out there on the web or in a book, everybody's different. So get an understanding of what you are good at, where you struggle, what you need to work on. Take note of that. It takes a lot from somebody to sit down with a pen and a piece of paper and write down their weaknesses and areas for improvement. Just acknowledging those is a great first step. Then start seeing if there's anybody coach-wise or mentor-wise, either at your level, below you, above you, that is particularly good at a skill set that you could learn from. Ask to pick their brain. You know, even if it's, hey, would you be willing to get a coffee with me and tell me about how you are so good at presenting at those staff meetings? It you know, kind of makes that person feel good that somebody picked up on something they're good at. So that helps to build a relationship, because everybody likes to hear that little bit of praise. So I've also found one of my personal favorite websites that I find has a lot of good information, both for leadership, like we're discussing today, but also just general career advice, is Careerism. I might have to spell that one. It's a tricky one to say. CareerEalism. They can do daily emails. They can do they're on Twitter, and they also have a website where they post their articles daily. Smart Brief is another company that goes out and picks the best articles from the day before and sends them right to your inbox. So that's the Smart Brief company. So I went to their website and I signed up for their leadership daily emails, but they also have management, career, finance, different things that you could sign up for. And I find a lot of actually good information on Twitter. I know a lot of people can have maybe a sour taste in their mouth thinking Twitter is about what somebody had for breakfast or what the latest celebrity is doing, but there's a great wealth of industry professionals on there sharing articles, book recommendations, personal stories of whatever topic that you would want. So I invite people to, if they don't have a Twitter account, to get one and start seeking out some of those people. And luckily, you know, if you start with a few people that you know, something like Careerism, or maybe if there's an author you like, you'll gradually build your network of who you follow and the information you get because of the things that they post.
Right.
And then for a specific book, I recently read Influencer, The Power to Change Anything. So that I felt was a pretty realistic and down-to-earth view on steps you can take to be better at working with a team and influencing change.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, this is a classic, the Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yep.
That one it's an easy read, will take you a couple hours. He's laid it out in a very bullet point, easy-to-read format, and I find that, you know, he really laid it out and it still applies. And a few of the things I talked about today is information that he said in that book. Getting to know your team, asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that's a great one to start with.
Great.
I would just want to preference that his book is a little businessy, so that's why I added in earlier that, you know, really listen. Don't just listen to make it sound like you're trying. His book comes off a little bit like going through the motions. So make sure you add that human touch into his preachings to really be engaged and to really care beyond just going through the motions.
Great. Well, Christina, thanks so much for your time today and for sharing those resources. I appreciated you coming on the show today.
It was an exciting opportunity for me. Thank you for having me, and I hope that your listeners were able to take something positive away from today's discussion.
Great. I'm sure they did. Thank you so much for listening to The Change Agent's Dilemma. If you would like to find more resources and learn how we might work together to help you influence change in your organization, please visit inclaria.com. Take care and best wishes for your change initiative.
Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head-to-head. So you'll be...
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty! Hey!